Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, man.
Now, that's a big game
that's
voice
called
right there.
Producing right there. Yeah. Great job, Kyle Quinn. Thank you. I needed that.
That is a big game voice. Oh, you know the voices. You heard one of them there. Welcome in the High Hopes guys with us here as we're at Stateside Live for the Red October Rally. Jack Fritz, James Seltzer, guys, it is your time of the year. It's our time of the year. It's the Phillies' time of the year. How are we doing? How are we feeling today?
Let's just address the elephant in the room. Very well put together video by Tommy Marlowe, but I'm not a big game voice guy.
Well, that was the question I had for everyone. Was that a big game voice?
No, I'm not a hype video guy. You know, it's like if Seltzer was a hype video
guy. Yeah, I was
guy.
About to say, look, I'm not one to talk. I think we all know I don't have a big game a hype video voice, but that was absolutely not what I'm needing when I'm hearing a big game hype type of. I mean, man.
My whole bit is calm down.
You got to match the moment.
I tried to match the moment.
Yeah, well.
Now, did you, how did that, when you did it, did you see the video or you just were asked to read the lines?
No, I just read the lines. I tried to play it up a little bit.
Yeah, if you saw the video, maybe you can get into the moment.
Yeah.
Here, what did you think of Jack's voice in the hype video?
I thought he did a really good job.
Okay, oh, that's a lie. That is a bold-faced lie here. If Jack weren't sitting here, you definitely wouldn't have
said that. I would definitely. I thought it wasn't bad.
No, it was I would say it was a B-minus effort. A B-minus.
Okay.
Wasn't a failure.
That's fair.
Wasn't great.
When I first saw it, I thought it was the official.
So did I.
One.
Joe, I was like,
I was like,
all,
that's a big moment for Jack.
I was
Jack
like, how did Jack not tell me that he's doing this? Yeah. Like, he's just, what? What the hell? Like, I figured I would get a text the moment he was asked. Turns out not the Phillies one.
Yeah.
So that next year. Next
I did
year.
Like it. I mean, it was a good video.
Oh, unbelievable video.
All right, guys.
Just a B-minus narrator.
We can give you a B. I mean, if it was
that was all right. You did a good job.
I wouldn't.
Well, Hugh's an easy grader sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Grader.
It all depends. Yeah.
We grade on curves here.
Yeah, we do. All right. It is our High Hope segment here. By the way, Trey Turner's going to join the show at 11:30 today. We'll talk to him about getting ready for the series, and hopefully that hamstring is ready to go for Saturday. All right, guys. Let's just start with this. How are we feeling? I mean, this is it.
What's your gut telling you?
Your gut feeling as we get to this series. It is, James, for me, it's the two best teams in baseball, the two best rosters overall in baseball. And it just so happens to be a best of five to start the postseason.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I think this is the best team the Phillies have faced since the 2022 Astros.
I agree.
You know, I know that Braves team was really good, but this team is a cut above. Obviously won the World Series last year. I said this to you before, Joe. If it is possible to be confident and yet completely terrified at the same time,
like
that's
that.
What I'm feeling right now, because I do believe in this team. I believe in this group of Phillies right now heading into the playoffs more than I did in 22, 23, or 24. Like, this is the group I believe the most in. They've got something. The way they've battled adversity, battling back after the Wheeler injury, the Met series, all this stuff we can point to. Even in games, if they're down 4-0, they fight back. Like, I love the way this team plays. I love how they're put together. It's the deepest team we've had yet, even without Wheeler. But, man, they're going up against a juggernaut, and they can beat them. And I am picking the Phillies in five. I do think they will win this series. But if the Dodgers just got – Dodgers won 17-22 now.
Yep.
They're finally looking if they came in here and they were the Dodgers and just handled business, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. So I'm confident, but I have a healthy respect for this Dodgers.
I remember thinking before the Eagles-Rams playoff game last year, we're going to want to throw up for 3 hours. I thought the Eagles would win,
totally.
But it was going to be tough. And that's the way I feel about this. This is just a week long of that. Jack, how are you feeling? Phillies,
Dodgers. Yeah, how you feeling, Jack?
I can sense it. I know it.
You can see it.
Yeah.
I need to be in the ballpark and see how it goes, frankly. I mean, it's all I've thought about. You're struggling to sleep. You're watching other playoff games. You're watching other playoff games, and you're like, haha, that sucks. And then I'm thinking about how that's going to be mean. That's going to be us in 12 hours.
No, you're not afraid, are you?
It's not afraid. It's funny. I expect them to win the series. I really do. It's I have a healthy amount of respect for who this Dodgers team is.
I mean, and that's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair. But I just feel like it's, think about the Dodgers and how many years they've been in this same position.
A lot.
And how long it took them to break through.
It's true. Yeah.
This just feels like this is our time.
Yeah,
that's
I guess
what it feels like.
My fear with that is, like, was last year the dam breaking for the Dodgers, where it's like they just figured it out.
And now I see what you're saying.
And they just know how to win. I mean, because they, again, Seltzer said it, but they won 9-11 to close the season, and then they won that series against the Reds. Now the Reds are essentially an FCS opponent, like when.
Yeah, it was like the Marlins in 23.
It was a cute story. Yeah. Yeah.
Not to take a shot at the entire
dude, they didn't even win to get in. The Mets lost their last 51 games. The Reds went 25-26. Like, they were an average baseball team.
When you watch the lineups in that series, and it's like Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez. They didn't have Will Smith in the series.
The Reds are throwing out Sal Stewart.
The Reds didn't have a hitter who hit above .275, and they didn't have a guy who had 25 homers. Think about that.
They're a make-believe playoff team.
Who wins a five-game series, the 23 Marlins or the 25 Reds?
I think I'd take Luzardo in the 23 yeah. Marlins.
I think talent-wise they're better. I might give Tito the edge he finds a way. Yeah, but, yeah. I'm with you. They're both scrub playoff team.
All right, so it's October. An hour as this show has gone by, and we haven't said a name that should be in every show in October in Philadelphia, and that's Bryce Harper.
Oh.
All right, guys. the other day we were talking about Bryce, and lower the bar. Douglas over there was like, yeah, as long as he's what he was in the regular season, they'll be fine.
All,
and I was like, no.
The midday show does take shots at you.
Can I just say how much I love the amount of Douglases? I feel like every day I find out there's a new Douglas, a new version of Douglas.
Well,
it's great.
The bracket of 64 Hughes is going to have all new.
It's like outdated. You're going to have to 128 next year.
Once a year. Yeah. Expand the field.
We might have to. All right, Bryce, it was an okay regular season? It was fine?
Yeah,
right?
See, I heard you say that the other day, too.
Uh-oh, you're coming in his
well,
kitchen
it's just
right
like,
now.
It's just like, it was not okay.
It was okay.
He still hit 27 home runs. If you expound it over what he usually plays, if he played 150 games, he probably hits 30 to 35 home runs. I mean, I guess for Bryce's standard,
I think that's
okay
the
season.
It, yeah.
But, like, he's still at, I mean, there's a lot of players in baseball who'd kill to have Bryce Harper's numbers this year.
Right, but he's Bryce Harper. I mean, his slugging percentage was .487.
No,
it's usually in the 500.
I think he had a good season for a Major League Baseball player for Bryce Harper. You're right. It was a below Bryce Harper standard type season. However, like, and I know it's a little Pollyanna to say it, but
Pollyanna.
Yeah, buddy. You know what I'm saying?
I just big think, words. In
I
this
just
hour.
I just believe in the guy when the lights get bright.
Me
like
too.
I believe that he is such a great player, a historically great player. I think that when he locks in, when he's fully focused and ready, like, I just think he's able to raise his level of play, and we've seen it. October. Like, even though last one was short, he's the one guy, him and Castellanos, who hit. Like, until I see Bryce not come through in the playoffs, I'm going to believe in Bryce in the playoffs.
Jack, do you expect him to be October Bryce?
Yeah, so I do, but I do think that this is going to be a big. It's big from the standpoint of what version of Bryce are we getting for almost the rest of his career? Like, is he going to be someone who kind of goes through the regular season, but then can rise up in the postseason, or are we just watching a different version of Bryce Harper? I think that's where it comes down to, like, it being a show-me kind of postseason, because it's going to be a big tell as to really the rest of his career, what he's going to be like. And, you know, CBS put out he's on a top 25 player.
Which is ridiculous.
Staple it to his locker.
Yes. But you can't tell me that there are three players left in the playoffs that you'd rather have in a big spot over Bryce Harper. I mean, he still has that kind of, I know the kids say, but he's got the aura around him in the postseason. But he does. He does have the aura around him. And yes, I would take him in a big moment over Aaron Judge. Over,
oh, yeah, sure.
Over, come on, the big dumper. Are you kidding me? What big game is the big dumper?
That list of the 25 best players
Ranger
in this postseason.
Ranger Suarez. I love Ranger. He's on it over
hold
Bryce.
On. I will
Nico
say.
Nico Horner of the Cubs.
Yes. Yeah, hold on.
Singles hitter?
Hold on. Pivetta's on it.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pivetta is
again,
on
nonsensical.
Yeah, that's a big win for you.
That's such a I mean, Pivetta, he won. It's over. He won. No, I mean, Pivetta started game one of the playoff series.
He's a good
series.
Pitcher. Yeah. Now, to, and I know we were kidding around, Hugh, about lower the bar, but your point the other day was you don't just expect him to flip the switch. You think he's going to be what he was during the regular season.
Yeah, because it's like Bryson's a little bit older, right? And he's had some injuries, so I don't think that, you know, he wants to play well, but to sit there and say, hey, you know, it's the playoffs, it's going to pick my game
up. October Bryce.
Yeah, that might not be the case, but he's still going to be good. He's still going to be serviceable. I think the strength of this team is from the collective, to be honest, because that has been an issue. Like the two seasons that I've been here in the playoffs, we've complained about lesser hitters not doing their job because the big dogs didn't do the job when they were in that big moment. So that's why I think that Bryce is going to get his, and he's going to have those moments where we're going to look at it and say it's going to say playoff Bryce.
Yep.
But it's going to be those lesser guys, the bottom of that order. Because to me, like I told you, Rojas, the fact that he got as much heat as he got for the bat being on his shoulder in that moment against the Arizona Diamondbacks, it was just astonishing to me when you talk about everybody else was in that lineup that didn't do their job, but he got the most heat.
And that was more about Dombrowski.
He
didn't have a good team.
And they didn't, you know, upgrade the squad. But then even you talk about the Mets last year, and you talk about stranding 26 runners in four games. That's a lot.
Well, Schwarber didn't have a hit after the first at bat of the series. Trey was a disaster. I think to Hugh's point, the nice part about, I think, this team this year is that a lot of the extra guys are starting to do their thing.
Contributors.
Stotts had a bounce-back season. Marsh had a bounce-back season. JT has had a bounce-back season. You add in Bader to that.
Boehm's been good since he came back.
Yeah.
Do we trust it?
No, I'm just saying he's been awesome
moment.
Since he came back. Like,
no,
I don't trust it. I think he's going to be the cleanup hitter. I think Topper made that pretty clear when he was on with us in the morning.
Doesn't mean he can't change his mind in 3 days.
No, he could, but I think he trusts Boehm there. I'm not saying, look, to Jack's, to the point you're making versus what Jack's saying, like, and I, the Stott, the Marshes, all these guys who I trust now, like, when they've stepped up the last 2 months after kind of getting it going, and Marsh has been going since May, I have trusted them, but I don't know that when the playoffs start, and it matters the most, that I'm not going to feel last October more than I feel the last 6 months, if that makes sense.
Boehm's going to be batting third in game three.
Against Snell.
Isn't Snell game two?
I'm just saying that I think they're going to give it
is
two games.
Is that what
games.
You mean, the Snell game?
Are you talking about the Snell game?
Not really.
He just means game two.
I'm just talking about I would.
You think he's going to struggle and they're going to move him back? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I think they need to split those lefties up. Like, I'm nervous about an end of game where they go Vezia, they go Tanner Scott, they have Dreyer that they can bring out of the bullpen, and those guys late in games. I don't really love the idea of those guys hitting back to back.
So Bryce drops to fourth?
Could be.
Well, I mean, if you're dropping Schwarber, it changes everything.
I think you put Schwarber four, right? And Harper two, if you do it.
I would love to put Schwarber four. I don't know if they're going to put Schwarber four.
I don't either. I'm just saying, if you're going to do the righty-lefty thing, I think that's a more logical way to do it.
I would agree. But Bryce has said he doesn't want to bat.
I know.
So we could talk all about the depth of the lineup. And it's better, right? And Bader's been huge. But I just look at it like we have to match what they're getting out of Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. It's just very hard for me to imagine we score enough runs if those guys are on base, you know, at a 400 clip in the series, James, and our guys are not. Like, we need our top three. That's the team, whether they're 1, 2, 3. We need those guys to hit.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be there, but Tommy Edman won NLCS MVP last year, and Andy, like, the extra guys got to do their thing as well. I mean, you go back to 08, Ryan Howard didn't hit a home run until game three of the World Series, you know?
But that team had Worth and had other guys outside their top three guys who were like studs.
Totally. I just think we've gone from the only way they're going to win at the Stars would have to be the Stars. I hear that, but you need everyone
else.
Well,
look, it's a gray area. Obviously, like, if Stott, Marsh, and whoever all hit, then you can afford. But if only one of those guys is going to hit, you are going to need your stars to hit. So I do think it's going to be a game-to-game type of thing, and you are going to need contributions from both. But, Joe, I do agree with you on a base level that, look, Shohei's coming in hot. Mookie's coming in smoking hot.
I wish he didn't wake up, but he has.
Smoking hot. And Freddie, you know, is Freddie. So I get Jack's point, and I agree they're going to have to get it from everywhere because I don't think, as good as our top three are, that they will match those three, but they have to show up. Like, they're not going to win this series if those three don't show up.
Sure. All right, let's throw this out there. Topper and the pitching decisions, because I feel like that's just a huge part of this, right? Other than Sanchez, none of the guys they have is just, like, throw them out there for seven and close your eyes, right? Like, he's going to have to manage his way through everyone else. Do you think he's going to let the starters go deeper? You look at, since he became the manager of the Phillies, other than the Wheeler starts, these starters in the playoffs with Topper average 13, 14 outs. Like, he's in that bullpen in the fifth inning.
Yep.
But I don't want to be in the middle of our bullpen in the fifth inning. Like, Duran, sure. But it's dangerous to me to be going to Kirkering and those guys in the fifth, sixth inning of the game. It's a lot of outs. Like, I feel like outs 14 through 24 are going to decide these games.
Well, what I find so interesting is that in watching Lizardo's last, like, six starts, he's gotten really good that second, third time through.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of where he finds his footing. And that's kind of what Sanchez used to do. And that didn't matter for Thompson in the postseason. He still pulled him earlier than I think a lot of us would have liked. So Lizardo's one where I wonder, I hope they go eye test rather than what their plan was heading into the game. But, what I find so interesting, because I think Ranger's going to be a piggyback guy in game one and then in game three after Nola.
So you think Nola's going to start? Because, James, when he was on with you guys the other day, I got that feeling too.
He was really strong on his belief in Aaron Nola. Very clear about it.
And that will be a talking point if it goes south.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It'll be the talk. I think that's the, you know, we've had some, and I think Topper's done an awesome job this year. I really do. And in general, I think he's done a really good job as Phillies manager. But he's had some whopper, big, bad decisions in the playoffs. Wheeler in the Houston series, Kimbrel, and whether he had options or not, Kimbrel. We all said, I'll take a position player pitching instead of Kimbrel in Arizona. And that's why, like, there have been so many of these spots where, you know, the Rojas spots, you pinch hit, this and that. So, like, and I know part of that's on Dombrowski, but I think that the most concerning thing with Topper this playoffs is Nola for me. After hearing the way he talked about him, I think every single Phillies fan on the planet trusts Ranger more than Nola right now, and it doesn't sound like they're going to go that route. And I get that Ranger can pitch out of the bullpen and Nola can't, but I'm with you, Joe. Like, if it were me, I'm putting Sanchez, Lizardo, and Suarez out there, and they're going as deep into these games as they can. As long as they're pitching well, I'm giving them six, I'm giving them seven, whatever. Like, I trust those three guys more than anyone except Duran.
Yeah, it feels like we're working too hard here. It's a three-game series. It's a five-game series with days off. We only need three starters.
Totally.
The fact that we might use Nola, who's not one of our three best starters this year, is crazy. It's just crazy
to me.
He's
not one of your four best, five best starters. You know, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Taiwan was better this year. Like, obviously, you're not going to give him a start, but Taiwan was better this season than Aaron Nola.
I mean, Hugh, you've been on the idea of let Nola start a game, and I just, if it's 1-1 or they're down, depending on game two or three, but if they're down in the series or it's tied and they go to Nola, I'm terrified. He just hasn't pitched well.
No, I mean, that's fair, but I don't think it's going to be that. I think we get the first one tomorrow, and I think we roll. I think that's where the confidence comes from. Listen, as a former athlete, I feel like when you're in situations like this, you've been to the well a couple times, and you haven't drank the water. It's time to take a drink. It's time to take a big old gulp, man. You know, and you got to dig deep, and you got to figure it out. And I think that's why Topper's so confident that Nola can get it done. But I will say this, though. If it gets a little hairy at the beginning and he looks like he's having a little trouble,
get him out.
I got to get him up out of here, man. Can't take that chance of it going squirrely and keeping him in there. He doesn't have the luxury of having a couple bad innings and then shaking it off and going back. We can't do that. Can't have that.
He's going two times through the lineup, and then Ranger will be in there. I mean, I think
so. That's game three. So that you
that's
think
game
it's
three.
Do you think Lizardo two that three? Here's the,
man. If it's 1-1 and they're trotting Nola out in game three,
but it's. I mean, also, I do think how well he pitches is obviously, but like he does seem like a slow heartbeat guy.
I mean, he does
but
in LA,
is he a big time pitcher? Like people keep saying, oh, big game pitcher. Like he's got over 4 ERA in the playoffs.
He
sucked last year. I think we overrate Nola. He's had some good playoff starts. Don't get me wrong, but he's also had bad playoff starts.
Of course he has.
World Series. Like there are spots where I don't get why people are like Knowles, once it's a big spot, is going to be great. Like I don't think that's true. You know, maybe.
He had a 6 ERA this season. I mean,
yeah,
like,
six.
Not 4.5, not 4.7,
six.
And that's with the last start in you know against the Twins.
Hey,
when he was
figured
really
good. It out at the end of 23.
Oh, there we go.
You know, made a little mechanical adjustment.
He was good in that.
Pitched thing. mostly well
until that last start though, right against the Diamondbacks, and
game
he
six.
Wasn't good.
All right, let me throw this one at you. Another Topper decision. Duran, right? Like I think for most people, he's the closer. It's turnkey, just simple. Do you think he should use him if the biggest spot arrives before the ninth inning? I mean, we see this happen all across baseball.
Glad you brought this up.
The Phillies don't tend to do this.
Well, they used to.
They used to, but they haven't with Duran. There was an article the other day. He spoke to Mac Elvin, said he's kind of bored just pitching the ninth inning, which tells me he's up for it.
Well, that was the pitch multiple innings.
That was it could be the eighth innings. And the ninth. Yeah, not like whatever.
Well, that you could bring him in the eighth and he stays in the ninth. Let's just say eighth inning, they're up one, and here comes Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. Would you bring in Duran?
I would. Absolutely. And I know they won't. I really don't think they will. But I would bring him in the seventh inning. If those three guys are up and it's a one-run game, I would bring him in the seventh and let him pitch a seventh and eighth and then close it out with Stroman ninth or whatever I had to do. Like, I am willing to use Joan Duran in any situation, in my opinion, that if I'm the manager and I feel like this is the leverage moment in the game, late in the game, I will use Duran, personally.
So I want Strom on Ohtani as much as possible.
That's fair. Strom's been really good against Ohtani.
Yeah, so that's actually one of the biggest keys of the series is how does Strom do against Ohtani, and then
I totally agree. And Freeman too.
And if it's three batter minimum, you know, he's gotta get the righty out too in that situation. But yeah, no, if it's the most important outs of the game, I want Joan Duran taking them. And I do think that the way Strom has pitched the last 16 outings has changed the calculus here to where and he's closed out playoff games before for this team. I mean, he closed out the Braves in 23. So it's not – I don't think he's going to be – I think he's going to be fine, and especially with the way he's pitched recently. But, yes, Duran is not married to the ninth inning. And, listen, six out saves? Okay, sure. But even if it's not that scenario, making sure that you get to the ninth with the lead is the most important thing.
Yeah, the one will be interesting is if in the sixth he has to go to Strom to get that part of the order you're talking about, Jack.
Totally.
Then they come back up in the eighth again, right?
Yeah.
Then what do you do?
Do you have faith in Banksy?
Depending on the situation.
He has had a nice year. He has.
He's got stones, man. Like, how many times?
He doesn't have strikeouts.
No, he doesn't. But how many times have they brought him in, like, bases loaded, out, or bases loaded? And the guy just finds ways to get outs and
he's
to get double plays.
He's probably been the most underrated player this season.
I trust him more than I trust Kirkering, like, without a doubt. And I think that very few people would have thought that into the season. But, like, I think we all mostly feel like Duran, Strom, and then probably Robertson are the three guys we trust in the pen. I would put Banks next.
All right, Trey Turner's coming up on the other side. We'll talk to him about this series, how he's feeling, and hopefully his timing is where it needs to be for tomorrow night. Is this going five?
It's going five.
Yeah, it's going five.
Splitsville here, Splitsville out there, and then they take it in game five.
I agree with that.
Kind of feels like a score run in the first inning tomorrow. Shut it down for a little bit.
Oh, no.
Lose game one.
Oh, no.
And then they win game two.
Oh, no. The nerves around here if they lose game one.
Buddy.
That place is going to be tight on Monday, Jack.
Could you not?
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm here.
So tomorrow's not a must win. can't lose than a must win.
Ask Trey.
Yeah, it's funny this guy saying it. You know, if they lose tomorrow, it's just going to melt down.
I'm not going to say I'm going to handle it well. I'm just saying that's what the old gut's telling me.
All right, you guys on tomorrow from the park at 4?
4.
Yeah. 4 o'clock.
And post game as well.
Yeah. All right, so listen to the High Hopes, guys. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, and then right after the game. All right, 215-592-9494. Trey Turner joins us next. Come on down. We're at Stateside Live. You can park in Lot S and walk over. It is not a dress rehearsal, as Hugh Douglas thought. This is the real thing. You're allowed here. You guys know that? Hugh Douglas thought this was a dress rehearsal.
When I was driving
like,
back.
People are coming today? Yeah, well, that's the plan. Yeah. That's the idea. People are invited to come. All right, 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, live from Stateside Live on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Ready to fire up your Saturday's FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino has got a boost you don't want to miss. It's called Boosting with the Boys, and it's giving everyone a college football prop boost every single week. Here's how it works. Each week, FanDuel's giving everyone a profit boost to use on college football. No opt-in gymnastics, no invite-only nonsense. Everyone gets the boost. Talking real games, real teams, real Saturdays with an extra payout on the line. It's easy, fun, only on FanDuel. FanDuel.com/GIGLAO to download the app. Check out the Boosting with the Boys offer and get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.